called heaven, Beulah Land. You know that's in the Bible, Beulah Land. It's in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 4, Beulah Land. Beulah means married, Beulah Land. Now, there's some subject in the Bible I really don't like to preach on. I must preach on it because that's my calling, is to preach the whole Bible. There's a subject I don't like to preach on, and that's the subject of hell. I don't like to preach on the subject of hell, although that Jesus Christ mentioned hell more than he mentioned heaven. To be true to the Bible, I must preach on hell whenever God tells me to preach on hell. Because people really do die in their sins and go to a place called hell. That is the truth of the Word of God. I can just see some of these TV people preaching on hell. You'll never see it, Mr. TV. You'll never be a sermon on hell to tell people if you die in your sins, you go into a place that you're going to burn forever and ever, you're going to hell. You'll never hear a sermon with Mr. TV teaching that. But I want to tell you this morning that's true. Hell is a true place. And as you think about hell as a true place, it's prepared not for you, not for mankind. The Bible says man was never really supposed to go to hell, but you go there as an intruder because it was made for the devil and his angels. But when we think about hell and when we preach about hell, we certainly ought to be able to preach and think about hell this day, even right now, the subject that I have brought up. It ought to really bring tears in your eyes, and it should cause your heart to be broken because people really do go to hell. And I do believe that some families and loved ones really will be in hell because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They may be church members. They may be here at Pleasant Hill. But as you know many times, that you know church membership will not save you. That is not your ticket to heaven. Church membership, regardless if it's this church or any church, that is not your way to heaven. The church do not save anybody. It is a person called Jesus. And maybe too many times that we just try to start inviting people to church, maybe we need to start inviting people to Jesus. Sometimes they come for a little while, and I was going to preach on, well, I will tonight if you're here with me. Christians, it's called themselves Christians. It's called, you know, false Christians, counterfeit Christians. But really, tonight and this morning, as we think about this, we want to think about a subject, and you think about people that's really going to heaven. Now, I don't have any problem with the logic of hell. People said, well, I just can't believe in hell. The New Age movement really does away with hell. Evolution does away with hell. The New Age movement does away with hell. Incarnation does away with hell because if there's no hell, there's no judgment. And they want to do away with hell. But Jesus Christ said it is a real place. I have no problem with the logic of hell. But now heaven is such a wonderful place. And where someone that knows that they have sinned like me, and you should know that you are a sinner this morning and saved by the grace of God, but know what you've done in your life since God allowed you to be in this world, and the sins that you have done, then God's going to let you go to a place called heaven. Now, you know, that really is far from our imagination. Why God will let someone like me and someone like you go to a place called heaven? Now, I understand I need hell this morning. I understand I deserve hell. Is anybody in here today that don't think they deserve hell? Because we all deserve hell because we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But there's a gift of God. It's called Jesus Christ, eternal. And it's a gift because he's gave this to me and he's gave it to you. And we have a gift of God. And this gift of God says he'll prepare a place for us. So that means my family, my loved ones, my friends, my neighbors, people I even don't even know, that one day that we'll be together in heaven. That I know that I deserve a place called hell, but I'll be forever be with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hell. Oh, so you are bragging, preacher. No, I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm bragging on Jesus. Bragging on Jesus. Because without Jesus Christ, we would nobody have a way to heaven. So it's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's prepared a place for us. This beautiful, beautiful place that we can ever be with Him forever and ever. And it's called Beulah Land in a lot of our songs. Beulah Land, that means married. And you know, say, you are the bride of Christ through Christ Jesus. And the bride of Christ, you are married to Jesus Christ. And you know, one day there will be a supper of the Lamb in heaven. A supper of the Lamb in heaven. So Beulah Land. I read these verses of scriptures in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 4. And where we get this word Beulah, I don't know if you knew it was in the Bible or not, but this is where we get our word Beulah from. And it means married, talking to the nation of Israel. But in verse 1 it says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof goes forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the kingdom of this of thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be crowned of glory in the land of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hands of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. For thou shalt be called Hipzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this day. On this beautiful day, it's called the Lord's Day. How that you have blessed us and released us, Lord, a lot of people from their sickness. And Father, how you've touched the heart of each person that's here this day. Father, that they wanted to come out, Lord, and be close to you today. Realizing, Father, whenever we in God's house with God's people, we have a closeness of you. And we want to thank you, Lord, for the desire in each one of the people's heart this hour to be close to you. Father, we just pray for those, Lord, that don't have this longing in their heart to come and to worship you and the Lord to be with God's people and hear God's word and hear God's songs and, Father, and to pray to a living God. Father, we just ask you, Lord, just to visit them this morning for those that did not have this desire. But, Lord, there's so many that had this desire, Father, this hour it could not come, and we just ask you to be with them in a special way. But, Father, there's a subject. Father, in your Bible, it's called heaven. Father, you made a place for us. And all your people is going to this place because you promised it, Lord, and you cannot lie. Father, we know in our heart that there's a better place than this land that we're living here on this side of eternity. Father, there's a longing in our heart to knowing what you read in your word, that there is a prepared place. Whenever our work on this earth is done, help us to understand that many be there, go in that wide way, it's called hell. Few be that go in that narrow way, it's called heaven. So, Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this day, for the opportunity we have on this side of eternity to worship and to praise you here this day. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, amen. Beulah Land. There were several songs sung this morning about this Beulah Land. It's called heaven. We have a lot of songs in our hymn books. They're all about him anyway, but you know, in the sweet by and by, I like to hear that song. You know, in the sweet by and by. There's a place called heaven. We're going in the sweet by and by. Also, there's a land, you know, that's brighter than day. That's the place that's called heaven. How about when we all get to heaven? I like that song, when we all get to heaven. A glorious day that will be when my Jesus that I shall see. That's a very, very beautiful song. I guess probably our number one song that most people likes, I guess, better than anything else when you think about heaven. Old Squire Parson that sings that old beautiful song, Beulah Land. Don't you like that song, Beulah Land? Such a good job that he done with that. It's talking about home, and it's talking about heaven. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a place called heaven, a real place. And one of these days, I believe that we're all going to that place. I hope that you're saved today, because you say we are going to that place. There's something in the place in our heart that every believer really has a destiny to that new home. There's just something in our heart. The reason that I like to come to church and to be with God's people and hear them sing about heaven and to worship Jesus Christ is because, you see, you're closer to Jesus Christ. No matter what people say, you cannot omit the church. So many people say, you know, I want Christ, but I don't want the church. Well, you might as well throw your Bible away, because you have thrown away the greatest thing in the world, because that's not in the Bible. It's church because we learn to worship Jesus Christ and we come together in Jesus Christ. As we know, Abraham, it says, you know, he was a stranger and a pilgrim in this land. He pitched a tent everywhere he went, and he built an altar. Now, a tent reminded him that, you see, that all around him there was nothing permanently. I want you to know that you ought to understand today that, you know, you're just living in tents. Oh, you build beautiful homes and everything, but you need to really understand it's not permanent. This is not your dwelling place here, that we just live in tents, because one of these days we're going to leave this old tent we have here and we go into a permanent place. And Abraham always built altars everywhere he went. Lot didn't do this, but Abraham did. And the altar was a place of sacrifice. It always points to Jesus Christ, the service of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So the day that you're here today, that you're honoring Jesus Christ, is it a place that we might come in to sacrifice, knowing what Christ Jesus done for us, we might come together in the name of Jesus Christ. That we're just pilgrims, but really we have a tent, but also we build an altar. The altar is the day that we might come and worship Jesus Christ. Anytime that you don't come, you're not worshiping Jesus Christ. We come to worship Jesus Christ here this day. Abraham was looking for a city and builders whose maker was God. In Revelation chapter 21, he tries to describe this new home for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a builder of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." That means we're going to have a new house. Don't you know how a homing pigeon, you know what a homing pigeon is? You carry a homing pigeon away off from home, and then you turn it loose, and it makes a few circles, and it gets his direction, then it moves immediately in the direction of home. Well, that's the instinct of that bird, is to go home. Well, what that instinct of the bird is what the Holy Spirit in our heart is, because we have that same homing pigeon in our heart. It's called the heavenly dove. The heavenly dove in our heart, it longs. We have a heavenly dove in my heart. And it was entered in there through the Spirit of God. And you know, that heavenly homing pigeon is here, really is pulling me towards home. You know, you have that same thing here today. That homing instinct is pulling us in the direction of heaven, and that is Beulah Land. I'm going to Beulah Land one day. You remember when Noah was out there in that ark, and, you know, it was floods water, and he couldn't see any land, and he turned out two birds. He turned out a raven. You know what a raven is? As they call a dirty bird, an unclean bird. A raven, you ever seen anything? It's called a crow. You ever seen anything run over on a highway? You seen a bunch of crows? They'll eat about anything. Well, when it turned a raven loose, it didn't come back, because there was plenty of dead animals for it to rest on. It was an unclean bird. But you see, there was a pigeon turned loose. A dove, it was turned loose. And Noah turned that dove loose, and it didn't have no place for his foot to land on, because it wouldn't land on anything unclean. So it come back 7 more days, and he turned it loose again. And next time it come back with an olive branch in his mouth. So he kept it 7 more days, and it turned it loose again, and the dove did not come back. That dove represents the heavenly dove of the Holy Spirit of God, and that dove began to circle the world. And all through the Old Testament, you never find where the heavenly Spirit of God entered into mankind, because, you see, they was unclean. They hadn't been, Christ had not come to Calvary's cross yet. The Holy Spirit of God came and ascended upon people to do a certain thing, anointed them, but he left again. But we find out whenever John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus Christ in the New Testament, that we find out it says, you know, whenever he come up out of the water, it says the heaven opened and there was a form of the Holy Spirit like a dove descending upon Jesus Christ. Now that was on its rest, that dove has its snowy turn, representing that Spirit of God to fly across this world, because mankind, all the Old Testament prophets, David, you know what he done? He killed, and all the other Old Testament prophets and all the saints of God, they were still unclean until the cross of Calvary and Jesus Christ, where the Son of God lived the perfect life that nobody ever did live. And that means that holy dove could land upon Jesus Christ there at the baptism on the Jordan River bank. So Jesus Christ is a symbol of that Holy Spirit of God for all the years that he ministered here on this earth. And then you know what happened to Jesus Christ? He died on the cross of Calvary, and then he rose again. And he said, I got to go back to my Father. I go back to my Father, I will send a comforter to you. And that comfort is the Holy Spirit of God in the form of a dove. So the day of Pentecost, that we know that in the upper room, the day of Pentecost, that dove came. And that dove came in by those people that confessing Jesus Christ, knowing what they had done, and asked Jesus Christ, you know, that he is their Savior of the world. Then those people, you know, that heavenly dove lit upon them because they was clean. They was clean. And from that time on, you see, that heavenly dove has been lighting upon person for 2,000 years. Whenever that person, when that person does the work they have for him to do here on this earth, you see that heavenly dove, that homing pigeon that entered into mankind from since that day that they was at the upper room. Then they had that homing effect to go back to heaven. You see, whenever you accept that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, did you know you become a righteous person? Did you know you become a clean person? And there the Holy Spirit could enter into you because what Christ done on Calvary and your faith in him, that means that you are a clean person. So that heavenly spirit, that holy dove, whenever you were saved, lit upon you and came inside you. And so we know that that is inside you right now. And that has that homing pigeon effect. There's something about my heart. There's something about you this day to think one of these days I'm longing for the place called heaven. I know these bodies are wearing out. I know I'm not going to be here that many more years, but I'm longing for heaven. What put that in my heart? Because I was a good boy? No. Because I'm a righteous person? Because I lived a good life? No. Because Jesus lived the good life. In his life, I live in Christ Jesus. And I have a homing pigeon that lives in me. And I'm going to that place called heaven because of that. What a great day it would be. What a great day to think about that homing pigeon. Well, I've been homesick before, not a lot of times. You ever been homesick? I mean really, really homesick. A lot of us men here, I know that you've been off the basic training, and you know, when I got on the bus in Waycross, and I was going to Fort Benning, Georgia for my basic training, you know, and never been away from home very much, and going away with somebody you didn't know, and strangers in the next bed, and doing things that the military made you do. I got homesick. I did. I got homesick. We didn't have to stay too long, about 3 months or so. Then they let you come home for a few days before I went to my AIT training, you know. But I got homesick. You know, I got a chance to come home after it all over with. Come home. And did you know that the closer I got to Patterson, Georgia, and the closer I got to home, the more excited I got. Are you excited today about going home? Are you excited today about being closer? The closer you get, I'm going to tell you, the more excited you ought to be about home. 6 months ago, I had what they call open heart surgery, bypass surgery. They stop your heart from beating. Take all the blood out of your heart and they put it on a machine. They deflate your lungs. No blood going through your heart. They call that near death. They said, I'll be, that's near death. I want to tell you this morning that I'm nearer death today than I was then. Because I didn't die then. And I'm nearer death back at this pulpit right now than I was 6 months ago when my heart stopped in my surgery. I'm nearer to death today. I'm nearer to heaven today. When I think about heaven, I think about home. Do you think about home? What is home to you? You know, it's a sad place today because a lot of people don't have home. They're called homeless people. And then it's a sad situation. People does have a home to go to. It's really not a home. It's a house. And they don't really view home as I view home. A lot of us have had homes. You've had a good mother and a good father. You've had good homes to bring you up in this world. We had home. So when you think about heaven, you think about home, you think about a happy place. But not only that, you think about a prepared place. You see, heaven is a prepared place. John 14, Jesus says, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, that's Jesus Christ, that you shall be there also. A prepared place for a prepared people. Now, Jesus Christ has prepared you a place. He promised you that. You are a child of God. You have a prepared place because you are a prepared people. Every one of us today. Heaven is a real state, not just a state of mind. It is a real place. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came from heaven and Jesus Christ went back to heaven. In Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, John was trying to describe the indescribable to us. Now, we can only imagine what heaven is like. We can just only imagine what heaven is like. In chapter 21 and 22, God kind of pulls back the curtain and gives us a little hint about heaven. But don't you think heaven is a better place than where we live here on this earth? I mean, it has to be a better place. He pulls back the curtains and lets us see a little bit about Beulah Land. That means married. Married. Married, you know, see, after the rapture, they're going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. That means that we're going to have that marriage supper. We're going to have a marriage supper of Jesus Christ. Our new home, our new address. Where is your new home and your new address? I know that a lot of us have moved many times, but you see, one of these days you're going to your long home that you'll never move no more. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 is the rapture of the church. That's whenever a church is no longer here on earth and Jesus comes back for you and me and the ones that's already dead in Christ in the graveyard. And it says there in Revelation chapter 4 and 1, after this I looked, that's talking about John, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the voice which I heard was as it was the trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And then John began to see some things that our eyes never saw. He tried to explain it in words, and yet words will not explain it. But the last of Revelation, he begins to tell us some things about heaven. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and verses 2, it says, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. You will change your address. Your zip code will be changed. It is a place that's called heaven, New Jerusalem. So, man, I'm going to tell you, whenever I think about heaven, I think about home. It is a prepared place for me. I'm going home. It is a prepared place because it's for prepared people. You see, you must be heaven-born before you can be heaven-bound. There's so many people, it's not that way. I think about heaven, I think about happiness. Because of Beulah Land, because of some things that really will be absent. Describe a Beulah Land. Verse 12, and he tries to describe this. He says there in verse 12 of chapter 21 of Revelation, and I had a great and high and 12 gates. Gates, and the gates were 12 angels, and the names written upon there were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And there was 12 gates. And each one of them was named by the 12 tribes of the nation Israel. And it says there was walls there, great, high, and mighty walls there in that verse 12. What is this? Remember, Revelation is always in symbolic. It's always symbolic what it means. These 12 gates and the 12 names, these high walls, it means it's going to be a safe place. High walls. Always a walled city was a place of safety. It's going to be high walls. Well, the day I like to ask you, is there any place of safety today? I mean, is any place that you know of this safety? Say, well, you better not go. We fixed to go to Mexico not long. Better not go down there. It's unsafe. I'm going to tell you, it's unsafe right here in Waycross, Georgia, Patterson, Georgia. You don't know where next place is going to be. It might be the next McDonald's you go into. Your kids, they may have a gunshot fight out right there. You don't know where it's at. I'm going to tell you, this world we're living in, there's no place that's safe. But we're going to a safe place. This is not a safe place, but we're going to a safe place. I remember whenever I was a boy, we didn't lock our doors. In fact, we didn't hardly have any locks on the door. Might keep the dogs out, that about all it was. You didn't worry about nobody coming in to start with. You didn't have nobody, anything, anybody wanted in the house, no way. But you see, we didn't lock our doors. Do you lock your doors at night now? Do you lock your doors at night now? When you go off anywhere, do you lock your doors? You better lock your doors. You see, this place that we're called Earth is not our home, and it's very, very unsafe. Verse 12, these here 12 gates, you know, and these 12 gates in the verse 13, on each of these gates was the north. There's three on the north, three on the south, three on the east, and three on the west. That means, you know, there's open for all. Whosoever will come from any direction you want to, it was big enough, it was safe enough, and whosoever shall come. The gates, it says there, was of pearl in verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was a one pearl, and the streets of city of gold, as it was transparent glass, gates of pearl, one pearl. See, that's a reminder of symbolic as we go through that pearly gate, you see, because of the of knowing how a pearl is made of the cutting. And you see what happens in a pearl is a grain of sand that begins to cut, and you know what? It begins to put a pearl there, a coat over. But you see a pearl, and the reason the Holy Spirit said put a pearl there, how come it didn't say the gates was made out of diamonds? It says the gates were made out of pearl. How come it didn't say it was made out of some other type of a gem? Because, see, all these other gems known of man, diamonds and all other type of great expensive gems, you can cut them and make other gems out of them, smaller gems, but you see there's one that you cannot cut without destroying it, and that's a pearl. It has to be left whole, intact in itself, because if you cut a pearl, you will destroy it. This gate must be of pearl and pure gold. What do people worship today? They worship gold and walk on God. One of these days, the greatest thing we know of now, he has gold today. You better get some gold, because our dollars are not going to be worth very much in the future. They all know that, not worth very much right now. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a dollar bill as big as a saddle blanket to buy you a loaf of bread for long. But gold, people's wanting gold today, but you see, then they're going to worship gold and walk on God. But when we get to heaven, the greatest thing man knows down here is gold. But you see, we'd be walking on gold and worshiping God. Verse 16 of Revelation 21 said, a city lies four square, length is large, breadth, and the measure of the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height are equal. That means it's 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high. Again, it's symbolic. It's big enough that anybody wants to go to heaven, there's always room. I'm going to this place, and God made room for me. And verse 23 says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten, and the Lamb is the light thereof. No sun, no moon, no need, because of the glory of God. You see, not long ago on television, it has some power failure, and people's in the dark, several thousand people. You see, you won't have to worry about no more for our new home. Revelation 21 says there's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God of the Lamb. No pollution there in heaven. Have you ever been real thirsty? Again, whenever I was a boy, you go out to a branch or a creek. I've drunk water out of a branch. I drunk water out of the river. I drunk water. You ever go up the mountains, see that little clear water? I've drunk water out of the mountains. But you see, it ain't too good to be drinking water nowadays because there's so much pollution. But you won't have to worry and get to heaven. There'll be no pollution in heaven. No pollution. Verse 2, it says in 22. It says, in the midst of the street on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bore 12 manners of fruit and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. You think about this, a different fruit each month. What's prettier than a beautiful fruit basket? I mean, it's a satisfying thing, isn't it? A fruit, that means it's just going to be satisfying. And then it said it had the tree of life. Do you remember when the tree of life was first mentioned in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned? And it says that God drove them out of the garden, put a flaming sword there with the cherubims where they could not go back into the Garden of Eden but take of the tree of life. Why? Because the tree of life represents that they was eat that way, they would remain in their sin and that condition forever and ever and ever and ever. But there was a flame, they could not go back. They had to go the way of the cross. They had to go where the tree of life is. And here in heaven, there's a tree of life. Then we would take of that tree of life. That means we'll remain in that estate forever and ever and ever. That means, you know, when we get our new bodies, it'll be fashioned for heaven. That tree of life, we'll be that way forever and ever. There'll need no more improvements upon your body, upon your life. That way you will remain there, that perfect body, that tree of life. We won't ever have to worry about this anymore. The tree of life, as we take of that tree of life and celebrate it, happy, 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 because heaven of some absence of some things not going to be there. It says there in 22 and 3, now there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. No more curse, no more sin. Saved to sin no more is what we have. You ever get tired of sinning? Here you are here in the house of God. Here this morning we're preaching on heaven. Here you are. Is everybody in this building saved? Everybody know exactly right now if you was to die that you would go to heaven this day? Do you ever get tired of sinning? You mean to tell me the people that are sitting in this church not right here would sin? You mean to tell me we here today would sin? You ever get tired of sinning? You ever get tired of sinning? You mean to tell me Sunday school teachers and deacons and preachers, people that sing in the choir? I mean to tell me people that comes regular and pay their tithes, you mean to tell me we would sin? I sin more than I want to. Do you? But one of these days, there'll be no more sin. There'll be no more curse. Verse 4, and they shall see his face. Verse 21 and 4, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are took away. No more tears. I wonder how many tears have been shed on this planet Earth that Adam and Eve outside the Garden of Eden. And they was probably walking right outside the gates of Garden Eden, and they found their son Abel dead in a pile of blood. You reckon that Adam and Eve had some tears as they probably with their hands dug a hole in the cold, cold dirt. And we know that this earth has come a great, vast graveyard. How many times have you walked with that casket up to a grave with tears? There'll be no more tears. Because there'll be no more curse. There'll be no more death. We'll have no more sorrow. How about pain this morning? There won't be no more pain. Says no more sea. Well, remember, John was on the Isle of Patmos and he is separated from the rest of the known world with sea. Sea means separation, and there'll be no more separation. You see, a lot of us, a lot of family members have said so long to your loved ones. So goodbye, good night. You're separated right now from your loved ones. You see, one of these days there will be no more separation. There'll be no more separation. Oh, I'll tell you, it's a happy place because of some presence of some things that'll be there. You ever get tired? There'll be rest. You ever get lonesome from your family? It says there will be reunion. You ever think, what's it worth it to serve Jesus down here? There will be rewards. Sometimes we can't remember too good here, but there'll be remembrance there. Sometimes we don't have health here, but we'll have perfect health there. And then we'll have perfect love there. You see, a lot of people will say, I love that preacher, but I got a lot of buts. A lot of people say, I love you, but they say the same thing about you. I like him, but I don't like his sermons. I like him, but I don't like his pastor. And I like, you see, they won't be that when we get to heaven. Because there'll be perfect love. You won't have to worry about people talking about your back, trying to hurt you the way they can. Because it'll be perfect love. When I think about heaven, I think about him. The light of the heaven is the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you the joy of heaven, I'm going to tell you, is the presence of Jesus Christ. The song of heaven is going to be the name of Jesus Christ through all that eternity. The appointment of heaven is going to be, you know, walking with Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of heaven is going to be the purpose of Jesus Christ when we shall see him. We will see him. Revelation 22 and 4 tells us that we will see him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. What a day that will be, will my Savior that I shall see. When he takes me by the hand to lead me to that promised land, we shall see him. We shall see him, I'm telling you, we will know him. We will serve him. We will serve him. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to tell you, there are so many people have not decided to follow Jesus. Where did Jesus leave you? I'm going to tell you, he leads you to the house of God that you might worship him. There's a lot of people who do not sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they have not decided to follow Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is today to serve Jesus Christ in this church. It's called Pleasant Hill. That is a privilege for every one of us. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. As I said, you cannot be heaven bound till you are heaven born. 1 Peter 1 and 4 tells us, to an inheritance incorruptible and defiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Have you made your reservation? You must have one. The ticket's free. It's in Jesus Christ. Revelation 22 and 21 tells us, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen. I want to tell you, there's a place that you're going to go to. Now, a lot of us is going to go out to the old graveyard for a while if Jesus Christ don't come back. I hope you got your place ready, because a lot of us going to go through the grave. There'll be a generation of people who won't go through the grave. We'll meet the Lord in the air. It might be before we go home today. We don't know. But the farther you go through the grave or you go up in the rapture, it really won't make no difference. You're going to be changed anyway. And there's really a place made for you. Do you know for sure this day that you would go to be with the Lord? Do you believe what the Bible says? There's really a place called heaven. And only people is prepared to go to that place because it's a prepared place. It's going to take more than just saying, yes, Lord. Many people going to say, Lord, Lord. And he said, they're going to depart from me. They're going to be a many, many people that thinks they're saved and they're not saved. Billy Graham said 20 years ago that 20% of our church rules and our churches are not saved. I believe it's a lot higher today. It's a lot higher today. It takes more than being baptized and coming down a church roll. You got to accept him. And I said, we need to quit telling people about church and start telling people about Jesus. That's where it's all at. Yeah, they need to come to church where they can hear about Jesus, but there's something wrong with their relationship. There's something wrong if they don't enjoy a worship of the Savior that's done so much for me. I don't know about you, but he's done a lot for me. He's done so much for me. I want to worship someone that's done that much for me. And I can't help but thinking, if they've been to Calvary's cross and looked up to Jesus Christ, and they saw the crowns upon his head, man, they saw the spear hole in his side, and him looking down upon the people and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, and they can walk away from that cross and never come back to the church, I'm going to tell you, I don't know where their eyes is at. And I don't know where the heart's been. There's something wrong in our world that we're living in today. But if you want to make your call and election sure, the day's the day. You need to come accept Jesus Christ. if you want to go to the place called heaven. It's come with a song for invitation. I believe we're going to sing that song, "We Decided to Follow Jesus." That'll be a great decision for every person in this building. I mean, people come in this building and they go out, they don't decide to follow Jesus. That's the problem that we're having today. They don't decide to follow Jesus. It's decision time. It's obedience. It's surrender. To do what Christ has called us to do. Look like to me, if Christ has done as much for me as he's done for you, look like anybody else would want to serve him, don't it? I've decided to follow Jesus as we stand and sing this invitation home.